colonists would do the dropping for them. Lord White, the former Prime Minister, was taking a keen interest in Amanda, attention that on another night would have been a great deal more interesting for her. Tonight, however, she had other plans, other company in mind, and the thought made for a weak feeling in her crotch.
"I chose my title from the island of my birth," Lord White was saying.
"Oh, yes, the Isle of Wight," Amanda said, returning his serve. "I believe the town of Cowes there is the capital of British yachting," point made.
"The capital of European yachting," his lordship replied.
"And that's where you sail your little yacht?"
"Actually, it's quite a large yacht," White replied testily, "and I don't just sail it, I race it."
"Tell me, Lord White," Amanda asked innocently, "just how does someone amass enough of a fortune to buy a large yacht during a lifetime of public service?"
"Fortunately, my dear lady," White said, smiling softly, "in my country, the amassing of a fortune is not incompatible with a life in politics. One acquires knowledgeable friends who advise one on how to invest one's money." Amanda winked at him. "One understands," she said.
Her hostess joined them. "Amanda, dear," she said, "you made me promise to tell you when it was midnight, and it is. You're catching a plane?" "To St. Bart's," Amanda said, moving forward in her seat in preparation for standing.
"Surely there's no plane out of Kennedy at this hour," White said, consulting a gold watch from his waistcoat pocket. "They do have noise regulations, don't they?"
"Not at Teterboro," Amanda replied. "One is fortunate enough to have friends with jets." She stood up, bringing Lord White with her.
"My dear," he was saying, "I do hope I can see you when I'm next in New York."
"Of course, Lord White," Amanda replied, fishing in her little clutch purse for a card. "I would be delighted to hear from you."
Any night but tonight, she thought.
She made her goodbyes, collected her coat from the butler, and slipped out of the huge apartment. Downstairs, her trusty driver, Paul, and her elderly Cadillac were waiting. Amanda slipped into the back seat, and in a moment they were moving. "The Trent, Paul," she said.
"Yes, ma'am," Paul replied.
It was Amanda's 50th birthday, though no one knew it. She was in spectacular shape, her firm body the product of a regular program with a trainer in her own little gym. Amanda allowed no other person to see her perspire. She placed two fingers on her carotid artery and glanced at her watch. Her resting pulse was normally 45. Tonight, it was 70. Amanda lived her life in very public view, and she took great care in how she presented herself to her world. Although of a deeply sensual nature, she was known as something of an ice queen, and she was quite happy to keep it that way. Her sexual alliances were few, but athletically maintained, with men who were always wealthy, off her beaten track, very discreet, and usually younger than she. Tonight and for the weekend, she would see her very favorite, a real estate developer from Atlanta named Henry Bell, who made it to New York no more than once every 8 or 9 months. Perfect for Amanda. Henry was a pillar of Atlanta society, the husband of a retired opera singer, and the father of two daughters whose social ambitions were relentless. Amanda had helped them meet two Gotham, while, unbeknownst to them or anyone else, she had established a highly erotic relationship with their father, who was a youthful 45. This weekend he was in New York, ostensibly for a board meeting, and he was waiting for her at the Trent, a small, elegant hotel in the East 60s. They planned to be together until early Monday morning. The car glided to a halt at the Trent's discreet entrance. Amanda looked up and down the block before she got out. She had no wish to